Hey, we are in this series called One Life. And One Life, actually, it's more than just a series. It is more like an initiative, a strategic plan to reach a goal. And our goal is to reach Frederick for Christ. Some would say we're reaching Frederick for Christ one life at a time. And this initiative is really tied to this big idea of God that we have these lives, these regular, ordinary lives, that these regular, ordinary lives can make a difference. One life, sharing with one life about the one life, who is Jesus. Being an influence and loving and living in our lives and loving on people, those people that don't have a relationship with Jesus, maybe they don't know Jesus at all, because God has designed every single human being on this planet to have a relationship with Him and to connect with others. Now, 4 years ago, the entire world was struck with a major pandemic. I know a lot of people don't like to bring it up, but it's the truth. But 3 years prior to that, in the UK, that would be England for those who need to figure that out, took action on another pandemic that they discovered. In fact, and then unfortunately, that pandemic even continues today, and it's spreading and likely has existed for quite some time. England did a study and began to address this pandemic. They haven't really figured a cure out. They haven't figured anything out yet, but they actually have in Parliament an entire team and a minister over this area. And this area of this pandemic is called loneliness. They actually have a minister of loneliness. Loneliness is a very big in America. There are people who just feel lonely, and loneliness is not just like, hey, I'm by myself and I have nowhere else to go. There are people who experience loneliness even though they might be a part of a family. They might have a wife and even kids. They still feel lonely. They might have a good group around them, but they still have these moments of being lonely. And today I want to focus on friendship and how friendship is the tract of which influence flows. If I want to be a bigger influence in my life, I need to become a better friend. And I've noticed, and maybe you've noticed as well, that friendship at the core of influence. Friendship is what God uses to influence the lives of people around us. Now, again, the big vision of this series, of this initiative, is one life making a difference in another person's life. One life sharing with one life about the one life, who is Jesus. In Luke chapter 5, we did put it on your screen, but we always encourage you, if you have your Bibles, if you have your phone, follow along. You can make notes, you can highlight stuff. That's what I do. I'm using the YouVersion up here. Those who have privy to the app, you can use the app as well. And those who have the link tree, you could go right there to the verse. It'll say, follow along with us. It'll bring you right to this passage. Luke chapter 5. This is an incredible story. I enjoy this story. One of my favorite stories. There's so many cool little things in it. Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 17. It says, one day, Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there. Now, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were the priests, the religious leaders. They were well-respected. They basically spent all day studying God's word and talking about it and trying to figure it out and trying to make it a little bit more relatable for everyday people. And so it says, one day Jesus was teaching, and just happens that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee, from Judea and Jerusalem. The reason that Galilee kind of stands out, Jesus did most of his ministry in Galilee area. It's up in the north area. It's a really interesting area because part of Galilee has regular, everyday blue-collar people, people who did farming, people who did fishing, people who created different pottery items. But it also had like the best school, the best religious school in the area. In fact, in Capernaum, the school that was found there is considered to be like a Princeton, Harvard, and Yale combined together. So these are the smartest of the smart people. These are the religious leaders that know pretty much everything, or at least they thought they did. Verse 17, it says, and the power of the Lord was just Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. when they couldn't find a way to do this because of the crowd. There's a huge, large crowd. You got to get a picture of this. They went on the roof, which is pretty awesome, and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus, right? So when I think about this story, I think about everyone who is in line, and I'm wondering, why are they cutting? Why are they cutting? I get to beat Jesus first. Another thing I think about is when these guys are coming together, I mean, this is a show of friendship to the umpteenth level. This guy who was paralyzed, we don't know the reason why. We don't even know if the paralyzed guy said, hey, I heard about this guy, Jesus. Hey, John, hey, Jim, can you take me to him? We don't know if that happened or if John, Jim, and a couple other guys said, hey, we know we've heard stories about Jesus. We want to take you to him. We don't know if there was a discussion or if there was a battle or it was just like, man, I don't feel like going. I'm stuck here, or no, you've got to go, or like, why are you bothering me? We don't know, but we do know there are friends. And we're not sure if it was A or B or whatever, but I kind of have an idea. Verse 20, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. Faith is always connected to prayer. God, I need you. We just sung that. God, I trust you. And we as a community, as a campus, and as a church, we have to do better. I have to do better, not just having moments of prayer, but really be a community that is a praying community. And so after every service, the prayer team said, Jermaine, don't forget. Okay, after every service, we're going to have people up here just to come and pray with you. I'll be up here. I would love to pray with you. Where God, hey, we may not know all the details, what's going on, but we need to be a church. We need to be a community that is highly invested in prayer. Amen? Amen. So right after service, you think we'll just come alongside of you and pray. In fact, last week we cast this vision that to have everyone pray for just one person. Pray for that one person in your life that has never encountered the love of Jesus. We've been asking this question, who's your one? Or who is that person that God has entrusted you to be a spiritual influence? And maybe you are here and this is your first time. You're kind of new to this whole church thing. You wouldn't even classify yourself as a Christ follower. We are so glad that you're here. And maybe you feel like, I just don't need to hear anything. I'm just going to check out. We're glad that you're here, and we believe that there is something that you will learn, you will glean. Because one, you'll be able to hear God's heart. You'll be able to hear my heart and our heart of our church, that we love you, that we care for you, that we are a church that cares not only if you're here, but also if you're outside the walls. We care and we love you, and God has a story. God has something prepared for you. And so in this series, it's aimed to really equip us to make a bigger difference. And so in this series so far, we've had a panel. We had four chairs. We had three incredible people, Nichelle, Rachel, and Josh. We want you to continue to pray for them. We had an incredible panel time. We've talked about prayer, and now we're going to get really, really practical. And so on the screen, you'll see this slide, this kind of diagram, and where we're going to be developing friendships. There are these three D's when we talk about one life, and how do we do this, or what is this? And it's kind of broken down into three D's. One, the first D is really developing friendships. The next D we'll talk about next week, and discovering stories, just hearing people's stories, how to do that well. And then trying to figure out the third D is kind of a big step as well. It's discerning next steps. Maybe it's an invite to church. Maybe it's an invite to a cup of coffee. Maybe it's an invite to hear more of their story. But today, we're going to look at developing friendships. One in three adults in the United States say they feel lonely, most or some of the time. That stat has doubled over the last 25 years. They think they have an idea, but I think I have an idea. I think some of you might have an idea, but maybe it's a little screen, you know, and plays a lot of stuff, and you can do a lot of things on there. As we see our society is able to make our world a little bit smaller and enjoy certain things online. And I'm not saying any of those things online are bad, but But it seems like, you know, hey, good morning, Facebook, or good morning, X, or good morning, Graham, or whatever. And we're longing for real friendship. Because the issue of loneliness and friendship has also greatly impacted our ability as followers of Jesus, impacting our ability to make a difference with the love of God and loving God and loving those who are right around us. Studies have also shown the longer that you are a Christian or Christ follower or follower of Jesus, the less non-Christian friends you have. And that's good in one way, but it's not so good. So to reverse this, what's the answer? Well, I don't mean to be corny, but the answer really is Jesus. Jesus and how he modeled friendship. Look at verse 21. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they're still there, began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow that speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Hello? Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. Basically, Jesus is saying, I'm him, okay? I'm the guy. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up. Get up, take up your mat, and go home. Immediately, everyone say immediately. I love this verse because it wasn't like, this is where I think like the guy was really begging his friends to take him because he didn't think about it. He didn't say, well, I haven't been able to walk for so many times. Like, am I, my legs going to work? No, no, it says immediately. He got up. Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on and went home praising God. He did exactly, he said, okay, I'm going home. Verse 26, everyone was amazed, including the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. The same people that were ridiculing him, they all of a sudden, they're like, wow, this is pretty incredible. And gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen something remarkable today. And Jesus is like, just wait, I'm going to show you some more. Verse 27, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector. If that wasn't bad enough, a tax collector was a Jewish person that actually worked for the evil empire. They worked for the Romans, the same people that had the Jewish people in captivity. And so Jesus goes from this meeting and this incredible thing. Now he's going out. It says in verse 27, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi. We know Levi as Matthew. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, he becomes one of the followers. He writes a pretty cool letter. By the name of Levi, sitting at a tax booth. Jesus looked at him and says, follow me, Jesus said. Then Levi got up, just like the paralyzed guy. Got up. This time he left everything and started to follow him. Jesus was a rabbi. Many people can have identified him in the scripture as a rabbi. A rabbi was a highly respected position. Everyone back then wanted to become a rabbi. And Jesus, he's this rabbi, and normally a rabbi, the way they got followers, they would sit back and wait for people to come to them. And usually young Jewish men or your boys, really, as they hit the age of 13 or 14, they would go and look for a rabbi that they can study. Everyone wanted to be a rabbi. Everyone wanted to be a pastor, a preacher back then. Everyone. And so they would find a rabbi that they liked. Maybe they heard their teaching. And then they would go up to the rabbi and says, can I follow you, rabbi? Rabbi Ben, whatever. Rabbi Ben, can I follow you? I've studied your teaching. This is what I've learned so far. This is what I can recite back to you. And the rabbi would look at the young man and say one of two things. One, he would simply say, man, you obviously know God's word. You know my teaching. Come follow me. If he was rejected, however, he would say, man, I can see that you love God and love God's word. Go learn your father's business. Basically, you didn't make the cut. If your dad is a fisherman, learn how to fish. If he's quickly Levi, Matthew, he says, come follow me. Levi, tax collector, I think you can know what I know. I think you can do what I can do. I think you can learn from me. And the first thing that we notice in how God builds friendships, and this is in your notes or on your screen, and you can fill that out. go to them where they are. This is exactly what Jesus did. This is how we know we could be a good friend. Jesus kind of exampled this. He says, I'm going to go where they are. I'm going to go and meet them where they are, both physically and maybe non-physical, maybe even where there are, like, there's some of their places they hang out, some of their thinking. Maybe I don't really transform my thinking, but at least I know where they're at, and I'm not going to reject them for what they think. This is about a place where people live and where people work, where even people play. Jesus, he went to them. And this is the very message of Jesus. God in human flesh left the glory and the comfort of heaven and came down as one of us, God putting on human skin to come and relate with mankind. This is what good friends do. This is what good friends do, and we all want good friends. But there's a catch, and this is the hard part. I see this in my own life. We all want good friends, but we all also want to be pursued. We all want to be pursued. And what I mean by that is we want people to come up to us and wish us happy birthday. We want people to come up to us and, man, that was a great job. We want people to come up to us and write notes or give us a gift card or whatever it is. We want people to come to us. But God's challenging us to go and pursue people, to love on them. I have been so blessed to be a part of this community and this church, and that many of you have pursued me. I mean, my job is about pursuing other people. My job is pursuing not only people inside the building and seeing how they're doing and taking them out to coffee. I love doing that. And hear me on this. I don't need kudos. I don't need pat on the back. But I know sometimes it's like, you know, this couple weeks have been heavy, and I've had people come up to me and just kind of like, man, we love you. I mean, that feels good. And there's a moment where I just like, well, I just want everyone to just come up and love me and pat me on the back. Anyone else have those moments where you just, I just want everyone to just come and say hi to me and hug me and whatever. But also that requires us to go and do the same. I'm going to start pursuing people just as Jesus did. Verse 29, then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at the house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. Being a good friend, number two, accept them for who they are. Not only go to them, but accept them for who they are. Now, hear me on this. Accepting somebody for who they are doesn't mean I have to affirm their choices. You hear me? Accepting who they are doesn't mean I have to affirm. There's a lot of my friends that have done dumb things, and I can't affirm some of the things that they've done. And Jesus, he knew this. He knew this. He got this. He figured this out. And I figure in my, and I've seen this in my own life where there's people who have done some dumb things. Even people, when I've done some dumb things, instead of going on and saying, man, you've really done some dumb things, there's people that come around, and I think I could be a better influence not judging them, but just being a good friend. And one of God's primary purposes for our lives is that as we grow, that we become more and more like Jesus. And so often, I thought the best way that I could become more and more like Jesus and grow spiritually is that one day throughout my journey, that maybe one day, I can get to this point where I can have a day where I just don't sin, okay? Then if I don't sin, I can finally make it. And maybe, just maybe, if I'm good enough, or I strive hard enough, if I work hard enough, or I think hard enough, and do all this stuff, I can make it, right? And praise God, my family oftentimes, Dad, honey, you haven't made it yet. You know, I get that. And I'm like, okay, I haven't made it yet. All right, okay. And I figured that I have a better goal. Instead of trying to be that perfect, having that perfect day, just growing my love. Growing my love for God and growing my love for people around me. And love other people, I actually start sinning less. I start choosing less of me, and Jesus does this beautifully. He's an expert at this. And so Jesus, he says, hey, I'm willing to go and eat with these tax collectors. Yeah, maybe they have done some poor things. Maybe they've lied and cheated and stole. I'm not coming to them. I just want to be their friend. I just want to eat with them. Now, I know, like, well, Jesus, you got to take out your Bible and throw them over your head. No, Jesus is trying to win favor first. And hopefully he gets to that point, which he does, and he tells them and shows them the message of the gospel. Verse 30, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they still haven't left, who belong to their sect, complained to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with these tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered, is it not the healthy who need the doctor, but the sick? I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Number 3, see them for what they can become. Being a friend like Jesus is seeing them and what they can become. There's something special when you look at somebody and you see the potential of what God can do in their lives. There's something special and amazing about that. And I try to do that. I try to see people. I try to see not only just them. I try to see, man, God's got a mighty work in you. There's something special about that because every single being has been created by God and created in his image. And I know we don't do justice in just kind of saying that. There's so much there. But God is desperate and reconnecting with us, and he desires to transform our lives so much so that he died on the cross and he rose. And even beyond that, he continues to bless, he continues to encourage, he continues to challenge and even instructs. And he gives us his word, seeing them where they're at and seeing the potential that God has in them. Number 4. Is simply doing life with them. This in the Bible is called hospitality. It's not just opening up our houses, it's actually opening up our lives. Opening up our lives to those around us so that they can experience the love of Jesus. There is power, real power, when a follower of Jesus is hospitable. 1 Thessalonians 2, it says this, Paul writes this, so we cared for you because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Paul is saying, man, I have this precious message given by God, that God came in human flesh from heaven to earth, and he left behind all that glory. He left behind the comforts of heaven, and he came for all mankind to pay this ultimate price, which is his life. They stretched out his arms and put nails in his hands and drove nails in his feet. And then they put a crown on his head, and his blood was spilt from his body, and he did this because of love. And he conquered the grave 3 days later and came forth victoriously, making a way so that mankind, you and me, can have a relationship with God. One life sharing with one life about the one life, Jesus. I'm going to invite our worship team up, and I want to challenge you. We've had this challenge throughout this series where we've been asking you, we've been challenging you, we've been hoping that you would pray. Pray for just one person. One person in your sphere of influence. Just one person. That you know, that you have a relationship with, that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus. Just begin praying. And maybe you don't have that one person. Maybe you haven't identified that one person yet. Maybe right now in this time you're praying, God, I can't think of anyone. Can you give me a person? Can you shine a light on a person that I can truly befriend and get to know them and build a relationship with them? Just one person. I love Jill's story. As she was praying for the one person, as she was identifying that one person, God said, I'm going to give you another one. And maybe I might even give you another one. But it's something amazing when we actually start saying yes to God, when we go forth to God, I believe this, I know this, God answers prayers. Sometimes he says yes. And sometimes God doesn't always say no. He says, not right now. Not right now. And so maybe as you're going through this series, maybe you've talked about it at home with family, or maybe you've given you that one person. It could be a neighbor. It could be a coworker. It could be a family member. It could be someone you care about. Just one person that you can love on, that you can truly love on. Get to know them and build a relationship with them. I have a one. My one person I've been praying for, I'm caring for. Some days I think he's hiding from me. Some days he's looking for me. It's the winter time. We walk our dogs at the same time. We have the same breed of dog. Mine's golden, his is black. My dog is old and coming to an end. I can say that because my wife is not here. His dog is like a puppy. You know what dog owners have to do. And it's so cool to see him and just get to know him better. It's crazy. He actually sometimes works and helps out at this very school. In fact, teachers have told him, hey, they seen him walking down the hallway. They say, Pastor Jermaine. And he turns around. He goes, oh, no, we're so sorry. And he's like, Pastor Jermaine, I know Jermaine. He's my neighbor. And so we have the same incredible connection. We're in the same school, sometimes at the same time. Sometimes he's here much more than I am. But I truly care for him. I'm not just praying for A1. I'm praying for him by name. I'm not just praying for an opportunity, which is great, but I'm praying for him by name because I believe that when we do that, our hearts begin to connect. And we begin to say, I need to know their story. I need to know more about them. And some days it's great, and I'll be honest with you, some days it's slow. And I'm a pastor, I shouldn't admit this. Some days I pray, and then some days I forget. A little too busy. And God's like, hey, don't forget. Oh, yeah, I forgot, God, yeah. So my challenge to you throughout this whole series is, who is that one person that you can care for, that you can befriend and begin developing a friendship? And the goal of developing a friendship is being a good friend. Just being a good friend. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your word. We thank you, Lord God, for your example. How you left heaven and you came. You lived this incredible life. You did miracles. You did great teaching. But ultimately, you came and you lived this perfect life so that ultimately you can die. You could die on the cross for the sins of the world. My sins, my friends in this room, sins, the sins of everyone. Because you desperately want to call us back to you and to reconnect with you. I thank you, Lord, for that. I pray for everyone in this room. You want to use everyone in this room to be an influence, a spiritual influence. With that neighbor, that coworker, your golf buddy, whoever it might be. I pray, Lord God, that we would just have a heart for them like you have a heart for them. And begin developing a friendship and love on them, and maybe down the road, show them the incredible message and love of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, what you're doing in our lives, what you're doing in this community, what you're doing throughout this church. We thank you. And we stand in anticipation of what you have for us next. In your precious name, amen.